get the old chimney sweeper. Make sure the chimney is clear. Time to get humming. Santa is coming. I love this time of the year.
Welcome to a special Christmas in July edition of Molly and Pete Save Christmas. I am Pete.
I'm Molly.
And we are here to break down a Hallmark Christmas movie in July.
I mean, I guess they've been doing this for a while, that they show their Christmas movies in July, and then they also show a preview of what's coming up, and we learned Lacey Chabert and Happy the Dog told us that there are 34 new movies.
Right, starting...
In the preview that they aired this week, too.
Starting October 26th or 27th, yeah. So before Halloween,
yep.
We're going to get rolling into the Christmas movies.
If you watched the preview, it was a bit of a bummer to see the behind the scenes of them filming and the fake snow that they made. I mean, we all know that it's fake snow, but...
What?
I don't need that peek behind the curtain. It's not in Canada that it's in the actual location, that it is winter.
In July, they play 30 or so movies, or no, they play 15 movies, I think, like this, the back half of July they start. For some reason, I thought that it was, they were new movies, but...
It's a lot from last year. And the one that we're going to talk about today, somehow we missed.
And that movie is?
Miss Christmas, set in Chicago.
Yeah. I don't think we've done one that has been set in Chicago.
I feel like some have had moments, like the opening credits have had a Chicago moment. Not that this had that much more than this. Yeah. It's really set in Wisconsin.
Essentially, what is the premise of this movie?
So, Holly, which... They use Holly, the name Holly, so much. So I just feel like they have a list. It's like hurricane names, and they pick a name that they haven't used before, and then they go with Holly. And then they pick a name that they haven't used before, and then it's Holly. It's just alternating between the two. And, you know, you get like a Joy and an Eve and other holiday-related names,
yeah.
But lots of Hollies.
Yeah.
So. We see her at the Radcliffe Center tree lighting. So apparently Rom has moved the tree lighting again to the Radcliffe Center. And the...
So it's in Chicago, and essentially it's Millennium Park, but
yeah.
They call it the Radcliffe Center.
Yeah. So Holly's job, as we learn, so she's being interviewed by WRT News, a reporter, and the focus of the story is just about her and how she picked her job as creative director at the Radcliffe Center, which creative director is such a nebula, like nobody knows what that term means. So you can just throw it out there and, okay, fine, your job all year is to find the Christmas trees. You're the creative director. We don't know what the Radcliffe Center does either. No.
Yeah, creative director, I feel like they use that on Check Please all the time when they have their position, like the people's jobs in the bottom. They're like, you know, this is Tina. Creative director. A creative director of what and how?
I use it as my job term sometimes. I don't really know what to say that I do. I think I think it definitely is a legitimate job, but it can mean a lot of things. It can have a lot of different responsibilities. And again, nobody, like if you say like, what, you know, like, hey, Holly, what does your boyfriend do? Your city boyfriend do? Oh, he's in marketing. Like, they could just be so many things. So
Holly is the creative director of the Radcliffe Center. And her only job for the year is to find the Christmas tree that they light up for in Radcliffe Center for the holiday season. Mm-hmm. That's her one and only job.
So let's say that this is the 2016 tree lighting that we're seeing in the beginning. Cut to, she's in her office. It's almost time for the 2017 tree lighting. And she's, you know, scrambling to finish the last few details. And her assistant comes in and she's like, what are you doing? You're watching that interview of you from last year for the 100th time, whatever. Like, there's lots of red and green folders everywhere in the office.
It seems like a very, very busy office for... Is the whole office just to find the Christmas tree?
Well, there's three people whose full-time job it is to find this Christmas tree. Holly, her assistant Aaron, and her boss Andrea, who just yells at her and abuses her about the tree. And there's corporate, too, which we find later.
Corporate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We also find out that Holly, okay, so this tree lighting business takes, it is a lot of hours you have to put in every week. All she can do is this job. She can't date. And so when Aaron, her assistant, approaches her with paper tickets for a speed dating evening or, you know, thing.
Yeah. I was like, what year is this speed dating?
Paper tickets for speed dating.
I mean, that's not a thing anymore, is it?
I think that's what Tinder is, right?
Yeah, right. Like, I remember there was a Sex and the City episode about speed dating. That was like 20 years ago.
Do you ever know anyone who went to speed dating?
I don't think so.
It might have just been a TV thing. I don't know. But I mean, that was a thing of, you know, where you're like sitting at tables and then, you know, whatever, you get paired up with a crazy person. So
we learn that Holly, she is her, you know, her whole social life is in shambles because yeah. she has to find the Christmas tree.
She can't find the perfect man because she has to find the perfect tree.
Oh,
that's not me. That was the movie.
They say that?
Yes.
That's a description.
So then Andrea, the emotionally abusive boss, comes in freaking out because the tree that they were supposed to like pick up like that day. Mm-hmm. So, do we know what happened to it?
There was some sort of...
The crane when they were
damage.
Getting it.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. Yeah, that's what it was. Knocked off like half the tree.
Yeah.
And the photo that they show of the tree is bizarre. And so later on when they're trying to find another tree, again, instead of just like probably just going... looking through emails or going online and scanning through images, they have stacks and stacks of paper, like headshots of trees to pick.
Yeah. So
yeah, the photo's not like, I would think the photo would be kind of like, oh, someone just took a snapshot with their phone, but it's like a professional, perfect photo of the tree.
So when we find out that the tree is damaged, they've spent all year finding this tree, and now we're 8 or so days. So I'm not
10 sure. days
we're
away.
We're 10 days away from when the tree is going to be lit
tree
in
lighting.
Radcliffe Center. And now they're back to square one. They have to somehow, in 10 days, find the Christmas tree that's going to be lit in Radcliffe Center.
So Holly says she can do it. So they start looking through all those headshots and nothing is right. And Holly remembers that little kids have sent, or I don't know, fans
People,
have
families,
sent
yeah.
photos of their trees for consideration. And they're in a box. They've never been opened. So it's a box full of fake little kid handwriting.
Yeah.
Which is one of my pet peeves. I don't know in what arena, but just I don't like fake little kid handwriting, and I don't like faked photos in TV shows and movies where obviously the people, it's not an old photo, it was just taken, mm-hmm. and somehow they can never get the proportions right on it, or like the colors right. I don't understand. Like, you can make dinosaurs look completely realistic in Jurassic Park, but you can't get photos right. I don't understand that.
Yeah, it looked like a stack of like 5-year-olds in crayon wrote all these letters to submit their tree to Radcliffe Center.
So it's a big box of them. And so she takes the box home to her house, to her model home.
Yeah.
and gets her dog from doggy daycare, takes him home to go through them. She has the ugliest sofa I've ever seen in her house. I would say watch this movie just to see how bad the level of awfulness of this sofa.
And her Christmas tree is up, but it's not decorated yet. And she has, I think she has some other kind of Christmas tree things that are out, but nothing's really set up yet. So you can see that the work has taken over her life, and she doesn't even have her, you know, her Christmas. Christmas means so much to her.
That she hasn't even had time to decorate her tree.
And I guess the name Miss Christmas comes from at some point during one of these TV shows where they do the tree lighting. She nicknamed herself Miss Christmas.
And it stuck.
And it stuck. So now everybody knows her, Holly, as Miss Christmas.
Is this how it works? Do we know who picks the tree in Chicago? Do we know?
They, you know, I know they take submissions.
What department is this?
I think the Department of Cultural Affairs.
Yeah. We need to find
the real Miss Christmas, the real Holly. Do we own her Holly's last name?
No.
Yeah. There may be a Miss Christmas Maybe we'll do a follow up in December. We'll reveal the Chicago Miss Christmas.
So she does, though, pull out an angel from a box, a very, like, I don't know, depressing angel from a box, and puts it on top of the tree. So she's going through the letters and just stacks upon stacks, and they're just ridiculous. It's like palm trees, it's bonsai trees,
cactus.
And then, oh, lo and behold, the bottom of the box, there's one more letter from Joey.
Dear Miss Christmas, I saw you on TV. You're the lady who chooses the Christmas tree. I'm writing to you to tell you that I found your next tree. Please come to Claus, Wisconsin to pick it up. Sincerely, Joey McNary, age 8.
So then she pulls the photo out, and it's a glorious tree. She's like, okay, this is the tree. I've got to have it. So the next morning, she goes and knocks on Aaron's door, and Aaron lives in a basketball player's house.
Yeah.
You know, on Cribs, they were at a basketball player's house, and it would just be like marble, a black leather sofa, and a big TV.
With a video game attached. Yeah.
That's what Aaron's house is. How much are they paying this Christmas tree assistant?
We've learned this is a hard job. Like, the city,
it's very demanding. So I kept asking myself as we were watching this, does this feel like Christmas? Do I feel like it's Christmas? Is this weird to watch a Christmas movie in July? One thing was that it's very gray and rainy today, so it's not like it was a beautiful sunny day out and we were sitting inside watching a Christmas movie. But I felt, it's not that I didn't feel Christmassy, it just felt weird to me to watch this in July. Did you feel that way?
No, I did not. I got into it. And you're right, we were recording this on Sunday, and it's gray. And I think that might have something to do with it. If it was like bright and sunny out, I probably would have been taken out of it. But since it was kind of gray,
maybe I already felt kind of gloomy because it was gray. I don't know. I just felt weird watching a Christmas movie.
I got into it and it made me feel good. It really made me feel good watching this thing.
Did it make you feel like Christmas was happening right now? Or was that confusing?
It didn't really make me feel like Christmas was happening. But I was like, normally I'm not up for Christmas movies at any other time of the year, except after, you know, Halloween, when it's a little bit crisp out. But I was like, oh, I'm into Miss Christmas.
I would say it was a similar feeling to when we watched them after, because they're still on for a bit after Christmas. And yeah, it's just kind of like, it makes me feel like a Grinch or a Scrooge, as they would say in this movie. We'll get to that.
So how did she find...
So this tree is in Claus, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So she's going to drive up there, and it's a very Christmassy town, and it has a big Christmas festival every year.
The thing about the letter that Joey sent, you know, since Joey's a little dummy, he's cute. But.
Yeah, he's on the scale of kids in these movies, he's decent.
Yeah, he's
pretty
good.
He's got some weird ticks to him, but
they received the submission from Claus, Wisconsin, but no return address.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they were like,
she's got to do some sleuthing.
How are you going to go up to Klaus? Why did I say Klaus?
Santa Claus.
they go up to Claus, and she's got to somehow find Joey and the tree.
Yeah. So she heads up there, and they're starting to set up the festival, which actually, I have to say, too, about this one, sometimes they... I mean, they never say what day it is. Oh, they say Christmas is 20 days away. It's a little late for when the tree lighting would be. But normally they push these until, like, it's 2 days before Christmas. We've got to find the tree, you know.
Yeah.
They're setting up the festival. They're getting the tree. Like, this is actually how it would happen.
Yeah, the timing seemed right.
So I'll give them a point for that. So they're setting it up, and she bumps into a guy. He's carrying a big snowman. You know, their meet cute is that they keep bumping into each other, and he's kind of gruff with her. And he said, oh, you know, she said something about like, oh, I love Christmas in a small town. And you can tell he's really grumpy. He's like, oh, well, this, you're 4 days early. You know, the festival hasn't started yet. And, you know, we get a lot of you city folk. And it's a lot about her being city folk and him being in the small town and how like a lot of putting down living in the city. And
yeah,
it's better to live in the small town. And he calls her, you're one of those holiday people.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Nothing like a small town Christmas.
You're a little early. Festival's not for 4 days. We get a lot of you city folk.
Whoa. Stop. Turn around. You calling me a city girl?
Well, are you not?
Okay, I might live in a city right now, but anyway, I will have you know that I grew up on a Christmas tree farm.
A Christmas tree farm?
Yeah.
So you're one of those holiday people.
Holiday people? Are you not one of those
no,
people?
Well, no.
Okay, because it looks to me like you're setting up for Christmas festival.
Well, we take turns here in our little small town of Claus. Okay, it just happens to be my year.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
But if it were up to me, I'd skip December altogether.
He's a Grinch.
He is a Grinch. He kind of reminded me, I know he's very popular right now, but he kind of reminded me of Jay Cutler a little bit in his aloofness at the beginning, like the don't care about like the city folk coming in.
Yeah.
And he kind of like, I don't know, he's got like bad kind of like facial hair.
He looks
hair.
Like he's been in a bunch of bar fights.
Yeah. Like a double chin.
Yeah.
Not like...
Like, when I saw this actor, I'm like, who is this guy? Oh, yeah. He was Riley in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Do you remember that character?
Yeah.
And so I already have kind of like negative connotations with him. I mean, I think maybe his storyline ended up being okay, but he was also kind of abusive to Buffy, right? And I don't know. I just don't have good feelings about him. And when I looked up his IMDb, he's been in every basic cable show he's had a little role on.
Was
and
he
he's
in
been
Suits?
In some movies too. I don't know. A lot of CSIs and NCISs.
So, yeah. But like, he's not, I didn't find him particularly handsome.
No,
to be.
I didn't like. And these guys aren't always traditionally handsome, but usually there's some kind of like something appealing about him. And I just never really, I mean, he's just not our type.
But he, you know, he kind of like had a little double chin. He's not like skinny by any stretch of the imagination.
He's got a football player feel for sure.
So, I mean, I guess, you know, he's kind of playing to that gruff character and, you know, instead of being like a little tiny guy, you know.
He's also been in multiple Hallmark movies. Sometimes I have respect for these actors who are just like, oh, screw it, I'm just gonna get this paycheck. Seems like a pretty good set to work on based on the preview that we watched. So she heads over after her altercation with Sam. That's his name. She goes to check into her Hallmark movie bed and breakfast. And Amy, who owns it, welcomes her and tells her about the festival. And she says, you know, I want to check in, but I need your help finding someone. Amy's like, okay, sure. Again, there's always like too much information. Like people are
willing to give out all the information about the locals.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm trying to find Joey. And Amy says, I'm Joey's aunt. Let's go see Joey and his dad. Who could it be? So they head over to Joey's dad's farm, her brother's farm. And here comes a guy with a bale of hay in his face. Oh, who is it? It's Gruff Sam in his truck. And so she, you know, explains why she's there and that Joey had sent her the photo of the tree and that the tree is perfect and it's meant, you know, lots of times she said this meant to be. She never really felt great about that first tree.
Mm-hmm.
And he is not open to giving her the tree.
No.
He's very against it. So she's like, can I just, you know, see it while I'm here? So he takes her over to see it and she has bare legs and like some little boots on. And again, open coats. If you listen to this podcast before, you know that they always have open coats and it's, you know, freezing outside and snowing. And she sees the tree. And then Sam shows her where his parents have carved their initials into it. A few things with this. There's conflicting timelines with the tree. So he explains that they bought this farm 30-something years ago.
9 years ago, maybe. Yeah.
And carved their initials into the tree. Then later on, either Sam or the dad says that they had planted that tree. Then she says later on that the tree was at least 80 years old, which that's the only thing that really makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure about the the origins of this dream.
They probably just tell Sam whatever. Sam doesn't really know the true story.
I don't know. My other thing with this is I don't know how I feel about this cutting down the tree thing to put it in the tree lighting ceremony. I'm conflicted about this.
Yeah, because Sam explains to Holly that, you know, yeah, this tree has been in the family, and then the mom, his mom, died like last year, and it really means a lot to this tree means a lot to the family. The mom has just died, you know, and it would be horrible if we, you know, to uprooted this tree. It just means a lot to the family. And Holly says, like, well, you know, like, Joey wants to, you know, bring the tree to Chicago because it brings joy to so many people. And Sam explains that, you know, like, you know, he's only 8 years old and a little bit of a dummy. He doesn't know better. When he's like 28, he's gonna appreciate that tree is still here on the family farm with the family. And I'm kind of with you. I was like,
she tries to sell like how the meaning of the, you know, the importance of the tree being that them, this tradition. And, but I feel weird about cutting down a tree that's been around for 100 years.
Yeah.
In, not just this tree, but any tree, cutting it down to put in the middle of a city for just like 2 months. And then, we don't know. We'll tell you later what's going to happen with this tree. But I don't know. I just feel weird about it that they have this beautiful tree and that they're just going to cut it down to like what? For it to be on TV for a few? I don't know. I just don't feel... I don't feel strongly about, like, oh, they have to have this tree.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way. I was like, I was kind of on Sam's side thinking that, like, this is a family tree. It deserves to be in Claus, Wisconsin. And, you know, shove along, Holly. Go back. You're city folk.
I have to say that on the block where my office and studio are, there's a big... some type of fir tree, a huge fir tree in somebody's yard. And I hate that thing. And I wish that
someone
cut it down and use it as a Christmas tree. First of all, it makes me uncomfortable because I feel like trees that are that big in residential settings, this is not like a big oak tree or something. If it has the feeling that it's going to fall down and crush a house, it has that kind of feeling. And it completely covers up the sidewalk. Like, you have to walk. You can't walk on the sidewalk. You have to, like, walk in the street and around it. I hate that.
It's a nuisance.
It is a nuisance. It's ugly. Yeah. Cut that one down. So then we get to meet. So sadly, we heard that the mother had died this year, but then we get to meet Sam's father and Joey's grandpa.
Grandpa George. Is his name George? I think it's George.
Yeah. It was G something. George. Yeah. He is really creepy. Yeah. Creepy Canadian grandpa. Oh, that was the other thing. In the beginning, Aaron, the assistant, said something about, like, it's a boot time to light. We're a boot ready to light the tree.
You always see the Canadian accents kind of seeping into the actors. Yeah, Grandpa George, his face is creepy.
There's a sleaziness.
Like, he wears like wrist jewelry, a lot of wrist jewelry.
He's a farmer and he's wearing a lot of bracelets.
Yeah.
His arms are too long. He kind of looks like somebody like compressed him down. I'm not going to say that. It's not that I'm like judging him for his body. It was that there was like a sleaziness to him. And then I felt his arms being too long, like they could like touch you too easily. I don't know.
There's definitely a creepiness factor to Grandpa George.
So yeah, swarthiness. No, I didn't get farmer vibe at all. His casting was weird. He's making dinner, a delicious dinner of grilled cheese sandwiches and milk.
Milk right from the cows. They're all drinking
unpasteurized, like raw milk. Big pitcher of milk.
So gross. Is it the house that's filled? It's filled with farm art. There's like
chicken, chicken art.
There's like chickens that are like framed pictures of chickens above the fireplace.
Yep.
so they're having their dinner.
So she stays for dinner. He invites her to Holly to stay for dinner. So, you know, like, Sam's starting out at gruffness level 10. I would say he's at a 9 now.
She's breaking him down a little bit.
So they start talking about the tree and if she can have it or not. And Joey says yes, you know, and Grandpa is, you know, he's pretty much for it too, but, you know, Sam is not. So there's some conflict there. Mm-hmm. Sam at one point gets up and leaves the table. And okay, so we've got... here's the conflict part of the story. And so she starts talking about you know, like, again, trying to sell them on the benefits of it.
Yeah, like, how many people are like, you know, I know you love having this tree as part of your family. It means a lot to you. But if the tree was in Chicago at the Radcliffe Center, it brings so much joy to so many people in Chicago.
Yeah.
And then around the world, apparently, who watch this TV show, it seems like.
Okay, so I do want to know what happens to these trees in real life, like the tree that we have in Chicago. What happens to that tree afterwards? I want to know what happens to it, what it's used for. Like, is it used for mulch? You know, like, you know, Christmas trees are used for mulch for the parks
yeah,
afterwards.
I'm sure they...
That's great. So I feel like maybe in this movie that they were sitting around the writer's room, if that's a thing with these movies, and they're like, all right, we got to address this. What happens to the tree afterwards? What's a safe solution? What is something that everybody would be like on board with? All right, we're building houses with these trees. Okay, who are we building houses for? Is it like the homeless? Who's it for? No, veterans. Like,
yeah,
this is something that everyone is going to like, okay, everyone is going to be,
yeah,
pro this.
Yeah.
All right, you got to do the tree because it has this charitable,
yeah,
end.
Not only is it going to be great for the people who are going to enjoy the Christmas tree during the season, there's going to be enough lumber to build 12 homes,
yeah,
for veterans who served in war.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So that is a cause that will never, that will always be something, that will always be a worthy,
mm-hmm,
cause.
Yeah.
But is that really what happens? And I feel a little weird, like, that they're taking advantage of that cause to, like, further the story,
yeah,
along a bit.
Yeah,
anyway.
Well, we'll put on your investigative reporter hat and contact the city of Chicago and find
the
out.
Tree finder,
yeah,
for lots of questions about this.
Yeah. I think you can just call DCASE, Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events, and say, hey, you know, like, this is Molly Green from WGN Radio. Perhaps you heard of my podcast, Molly and Pete Save Christmas. Just got a couple of questions for you about the tree lighting.
And if that is what they really do with it, then I think people should think that's
that.
A great thing.
Yeah.
But I feel weird, like, they were taking advantage of a worthy cause just for,
because nobody's
going
to say, like, oh,
yeah,
veterans, that's a terrible place. That's a terrible, yeah, place to put a tree.
So she checks in with Aaron, her assistant, and Aaron, the assistant's always, the shots of her, she's always just like walking. She's walking, doing something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what's she doing. What's she doing this whole time? She's
holding
walking
the office
around
together, I guess, while Holly's up in Claus.
And she goes out to a street vendor because it's the city and get something to eat. I don't know what it was. Maybe, I don't know if it was a pretzel or a cinnamon roll or a Danish or a funnel cake. I don't know.
It was
brown and limp and huge.
Yeah.
I know this isn't important to the story, but if you end up watching this one, it was one of my favorite parts,
yeah,
of the whole movie.
And are street vendors a thing in Chicago? It doesn't. I mean, that seems more of a New York thing to do,
yeah,
to get, you know, get your hot dog,
yeah,
from the corner vendor. But
Hallmark movies love a good food.
Yeah,
street,
yeah.
Vendor,
I was wondering what that piece of food was.
So Holly presents, has a presentation for the family. So,
like, an official presentation.
Yeah.
Like, she has her computer up and a slideshow,
mm-hmm,
and the all the family members are looking at the presentation.
Mm-hmm. A big spread of cookies, Christmas cookies,
yeah,
in front of them. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah,
she's good at
buttering
her
up
job.
George.
Yeah. And they, so she, you know, shows that this all started with the Great Depression. Again, just like taking advantage of, and then, you know, like what it means now, and pictures of families in front of it now, and, you know, how important the tree is and how it brings everybody together and gives everybody hope. And
And Holly, we should mention too, is, you know, she's city folk now, but she is a farm girl,
yeah,
true and true. Like, she grew up on a Christmas tree farm. Or just a tree,
yeah,
farm,
no,
a Christmas
tree
farm.
Farm.
She grew up on a Christmas tree farm. Her mom died when she was really young. And then when she was in college, she was going to, like, take over the Christmas tree farm. And then her dad died during that time, and she decided to pursue...
She sold the farm
and pursued...
Got a job at Radcliffe.
Got a job at Radcliffe being the creative director to find the Christmas tree, which seemed like the perfect job for her to get.
Yeah. I'm guessing she worked her way up to Christmas tree picker.
So she's not just a city person. She has a true love of Christmas, the Christmas tree. And I feel like that kind of came out, too, in the presentation. You know, just don't think I'm, like, you know, a city person that is... just wants to steal your tree. Like, I really care. I really care for this tree. Mm-hmm. I really care for this tradition as well.
Yeah. They tell her that creepy Canadian grandpa says, is it okay if we have a little bit more time? And I feel like this is mean. Like, she is on such a tight deadline. Like, just decide already.
But
again, it keeps her in Klaus.
Sorry. <I'm
laughs> a bit longer. Okay, got it. But it just seems a little mean to me.
Yeah, to like put
her, string her along.
She's going to, you know, end up having only 2 days to find a tree.
Yeah.
But I guess from the get-go, and you said this, that, you know, the Grandpa George is pretty much on board. The sister, mm-hmm. Sam's sister, is pretty much on board, and we know Joey's on board. So 3 out of the 4.
But she wants a unanimous
vote. She wants an unanimous vote because it means so much to the family. She would feel bad if there was even one person in the family that didn't want to give the Christmas tree to the Chicago tree lighting.
So she says, okay, you guys can have until tomorrow to decide. So they walk around the festival, which is about to open, and kind of show her around. And they point out that the festival is potluck style. So at one point, they're like eating at the festival, and on a plate is just a big ham and cupcakes. Potluck style festival. It's like a huge festival that you can't get some food vendors. Like, they benefit from this too. It's not like the town is out, you know, has to pay for all the food. Yeah.
Ham and cupcakes. That's the cornerstone of any delicious Christmas festival.
So she gets, she's getting phone calls from Andrea, her boss, and from Aaron, the assistant. And whenever she's on the phone, her phone is off. There's one scene where Andrea's phone is on, and it looks like, because they all have iPhones, and it looks like a legitimate phone call. But there's a lot of scenes with phone calls, and the phones are always
black.
Off. So corporate knows what's going on now. And Andrea, the boss, it could be Andrea, says that now Holly's job is on the line if she doesn't get this tree ASAP.
I've heard from corporate. And if you don't get this tree, don't bother coming back.
So much for all that, well, you know, good vibes, hope, well-wishing, do-gooding of the tree. That, comes down to it.
Yeah, comes down to corporate.
Bottom line. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, during this whole time, they're reiterating the fact that, you know, Holly is busy and she just cannot find a guy. And I feel the assistant is like, you know, like she kind of feels...
She's picking up on the chemistry between Holly and Sam. And she's also, Holly's learning to, when she's in this small town, she's learning to just take time, enjoy it, which I feel like if you own a farm, there's not a lot of just hanging out and sit, like,
they make it seem like farming
around.
Is really easy job.
Like, you're working 80, maybe Holly's working 60 hours a week and that farmer's working 100 hours a week, and it's grueling, and it, you know, like, you're stressed all the time.
It's so hard. Like, her job picking out a Christmas tree in the city is so much harder than being a farmer.
I just never really, like, of course the festival's a bit lame, as they usually are in these movies. And I didn't fall in love with Sam. I didn't fall in love with Claus, Indiana either.
Wisconsin. Yeah. No, I didn't either. I didn't.
Again, I was thinking Jay Cutler, because he's from Santa Claus, Indiana. Yeah, yes. I was thinking about that trick.
Yeah, I didn't.
You're not watching Very Castleberry just for the Jay Cutler scenes, I highly recommend it.
And I guess I'll say this too, because we learned this the hard way. I would make sure to record it. Because
you don't want to watch anything else in it.
Yeah, and you can fast forward it. Because we learned when you just watch it on demand, mm-hmm. you can't fast forward. You can't. Yeah. You have to really pay attention to the other nonsense. But the Jay Cutler stuff.
That'll tide you over until October when these movies come out.
But I'm with you. I didn't feel any great joy or love of the town. They didn't really present it.
No, they just made cookie. Like, there's one scene, or I guess like the next day, she's asked Sam to take a day off from farming. Cows will milk themselves, apparently. and just do Christmas things all day. So she has like a horse-drawn carriage, but they never get in it or do anything. They're just back at the house making cookies. Like,
they get in it, but then they don't show.
Yeah,
where
they don't
go.
Do anything. Yeah, nothing seems very special about this.
And we also at some point too, we learn that Sam inquires about Holly, like, what's her status, and she's mm-hmm. you know, she has to say, oh, you know, I'm saying I am too busy trying to pick this Christmas tree out for one, you know, my one job of picking the Christmas tree off for the festival takes up all my time. You know, I'm sure he's just like, this guy, this farmer, like, rolling his eyes. Like, are you kidding me? Like Jay Cutler. And he explains that he's divorced. So, you know, he hasn't been in the market for, you
which
know,
surprised surprised me because normally they're widowed.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But then I want to know, like, what were the circumstances around the divorce? Why are you divorced?
Yeah. Yeah. And why does he hate Christmas so much?
I mean, I think he liked it in the beginning, but then after his mom died and
stuff.
That's
what I thought.
Divorce.
But then he said something about they're putting up decorations at some point. And he's like, untangling these lights is giving me flashbacks to horrible Christmases when he was a kid. And maybe it's just because it's a Christmassy town. He's like sick of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never really got the motivation for how much he hated
Christmas
and why. And if you hate Christmas and you live in a Christmas town, move, maybe. There is so much coffee in this movie. Did you notice that? They're always drinking coffee. These scenes that we're talking about.
Scene.
Yeah, yeah. I never saw a big Folgers can, but...
There was really no...
And of course, the mugs are ugly, as usual, in these
no
movies.
No special product placement, I didn't know. I think I noticed a tea. There was a...
One time they made a really big deal, they zoomed right in on her tea, like it showed. That was when she was at her lowest point. We'll get to that. She was having tea, not coffee.
She never says like, "Oh, you're divorced." What were the circumstances surrounding that? Is it because you don't like Christmas? Like what? You're not a good dad. Like tell me. Just I wanted a little bit of background about his divorce.
I think because I watch so much of the Bachelor franchise, I'm fine with like people just knowing each other for 2 days and then deciding like that they're meant to be, not really needing to know any. You know, like maybe I'm assuming too much, but I'm guessing Sam's politics and Holly's politics probably don't line up too well. And, based on just get a feeling for that and.
So we're still at
the
point.
They never really have a deep conversation.
And so we're still at the point of, and now I think pretty much we know everyone wants to give the tree.
Well, at this point, they all get together for like breakfast together at the Ben breakfast that the sister owns. And they make some cute French toast together. Mm-hmm. And the Grandpa George tells her she can have the tree. Like he's solid about it. And Amy tells her she can have the tree. She's solid about it. And so they're decorating the inn, which I guess they hadn't done. Maybe they just didn't do it last year because the mother, I don't know.
Yeah,
but
it seemed late in the season.
They used, again, in Hallmark movies, it's always the fake garland, the really fake garland. Like, you're on a farm in Wisconsin. You can't go cut down some boughs and tie them together. Like,
yeah.
This fake garland. I'm sick of that. They pull out the grandmother's favorite ornament, which is an angel, but it's a very, like, plastic Hallmark store angel, too. You know, it's not like a... something that's been handed down through the years. Yeah. And during this day, I guess they turn on the TV and it's Chicago WRT news. Breaking news. The tree is not at Radcliffe Center yet. Where is it?
Will this be the year without a tree?
Yeah.
Turn on the news.
And with a week until the tree lighting, the Radcliffe Center tree is still not here. The city in a garden might be treeless. Looks like the heart of America might have lost its Christmas spirit.
And her boss is still freaking out.
Well, because at this point now, and I think Holly kind of tells the family, like, you know, hey, this is getting to be crunch time. You know, this is very important. This is my only job is to find the Christmas tree. It's 4 days. I normally spend all year looking for this. I only have like 4 days left to pick out the tree, transport it to Chicago, which I guess we never really find out how far away in Wisconsin it is. It doesn't seem like it's that far and get back. So.
It feels like it could just be on the other side of Mars Cheese Castle.
You just like right over the expressway past Great America. Oh, it should be coming up to Mars Cheese Castle. Yeah, it could be right there. For some reason, I didn't feel... I mean, I kind of sense that there, you know, time is getting ticking, but I didn't feel like, oh, you know, like really nervous, like, oh my God, it's getting to be the crunch time. But then when I saw, you know, when they broke in to regular programming with the with the alert that, you know, that there is no tree...
Like it would pop up on your phone.
Yeah. Whoa, what's that? Oh, my God, the Radcliffe Center doesn't have a tree? It's only 4 days away from the tree lighting ceremony.
So she's just got to convince Sam to give her the tree. So Sam, Holly, and Joey walk out to look at the tree again. Again, bare legs, open coats. And...
it's Operation Lift Sam's Christmas Spirit. Oh. That's what she called it.
But they've also gone out there to cut down their own tree, which 8-year-old Joey cuts down himself.
Again, and I don't know much about cutting trees, since I think last year we just went to Whole Foods and grabbed one.
But the guy who had to like trim the bottom, it was like, it was a whole operation. Like an 8-year-old could not have done that, and the tree was already cut.
Yeah,
so.
Maybe it was...
That's our city living now versus country life.
Well, the saw seemed kind of small to cut down a big tree.
Yeah.
And like this 8-year-old is going to use this little small... It's going to take him 3 weeks to cut this thing down.
There's a lot of talk about angels on top of the tree. Like, you know, Holly likes angels. The mother liked angels. There's a big angel on top of the Radcliffe Center tree. And so I was thinking too about like... I guess Christmas is Christian, but would a city have a big angel on top of the tree? It seems a little like,
yeah.
I feel like things would be more secular or representative of other celebrations too.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a big angel push
on
all this. My notes say, Sam is getting the Christmas spirit. Why doesn't he like it? So I was thinking about this a lot. Like I could never figure out why
he
didn't like it.
We never learn.
And so that's the end of that day where, you know, the clock is ticking down and they've decided that they're going to go to the Christmas festival. It's the opening day. And so she slinks down the stairs in like a tight red, like mini dress and over the knee, like high heel boots. Miss Christmas. To go to the potluck Christmas festival.
Yeah, seems overdressed.
They're all wearing ugly Christmas sweaters and that we find out that the grandmother had made every year. No. Mm-mm-mm. They're the most commercial Christmas sweaters. Why not just say collected, that she collected them every year? Yeah. All right.
Another thing that we should say too is that maybe, and this maybe contributed to my ease of like not having the Sam's, the treat, the McInerneys or whatever their names are, McInerney.
What is there? It is an M.
McNary? Maybe Joseph. The McNarys, I think
okay.
It is. They have a backup in Elkhart, Indiana, ready to go.
Yeah.
Just in case.
It's a little short, is the problem.
Yeah, it's like 10 feet short for TV or something.
Right.
So if she can't get
the perfect tree,
they do have a backup in place.
The backup tree in Elkhart, Indiana. So they go to the festival and... I don't feel anything.
It doesn't feel like a great...
It's not magical. It's not like the Chris Kindle Market here. Yeah. So they get some plates of food from the potluck, and she sits down with her plate of fruitcake, and he's eating some various salads that the good Christian women of Klaus, Indiana, Klaus, Indiana, Wisconsin, have made. and he tells her yes, that she can have the tree, and Joey runs over, "You said yes! You said yes!" over and over again.
Yeah, so she's done it. She's convinced all four family members.
She's elated
that they have the perfect tree. She's going to set up transport the next day, bring it back to Chicago, and we're all set. And that's she's on the phone with her assistant, and she's talking about, you know, how great this is and how that she thinks that she loves this family and.
This way of life.
You know, she doesn't like the city living, and she thinks that once she brings back the Christmas tree, she's going to come back and live with this divorced Sam who she barely knows for the rest of her life.
No, she says that it's not because of Sam. It's because, like, she doesn't want him to feel pressure that it's just for him. But, yeah.
But in a very, you know, 80s sitcom-y way. Sam walks by the door and overhears half of the conversation and hears her saying, like,
I just want this tree and to get out of here.
Right, yeah. So he thinks, oh, no, she's just using us for this tree. All this phoniness of pretending to infiltrate our family was just so she could get the tree to Radcliffe Center. And, you know, he storms off. And then, you know, she hangs up the phone thinking like, oh, this is wonderful. Like, I, you mm-hmm. know, I'm gonna, we have the tree and I'm going to have a new life in Claus, Wisconsin with the McInerneys.
It's very girl gets tree, girl loses tree. Maybe girl gets tree back. We'll see.
So then I think, so then we see.
So yeah, he says, no, you can't have the tree now. Right when Andrea shows up to get it
yeah.
with the guys who are going to cut it down and transport it to Chicago. So it all falls apart.
Yeah. He's like in his pickup truck all mopey. Like, she's like, hey, Sam, like excited to see, let's go. And he's like, I'm not giving it to you.
Yeah.
And doesn't say, or he says like, oh, you're just using me. Like yeah. you're just city folk coming in here.
Doesn't give her any chance to
explain
anything. Yeah. Just a jerk.
So then now he puffs off and she's like, well, like, all right, well, you know, we're going to just have to go to our backup from Elkhart, Indiana. And then, she tells Sam like, oh, by the way, when I said I wasn't coming back, I meant to Chicago. And he's like,
what? She's like, too late, Sam. See ya. And I'm going to go drink my sad tea.
Yeah, so she was back in, then she's back in Chicago at this point drinking her sad tea.
Looking
at her, you know, her sad Christmas tree that still hasn't been decorated.
Yeah. And she even goes as far as to say she doesn't want to be Miss Christmas anymore.
Oh, yeah. She's kind of crying about it.
Yeah. Erin was supposed to go on a hot date, but instead she comes over to help decorate the tree, which is nice. And they almost do what they've been guilty of many times before in these movies, put the ornaments on the tree before the light. And it's kind of funny. Like, I wonder if this was an inside joke they did, that they did this. How Erin starts to put the ornaments on, and Holly's like, no, that's not the way, the order you do it.
Yeah, you yelled out. You're like, what is she doing?
They always do this.
And then, like, a minute later, Holly's like, no, you don't put the...
However, all of those points they earned are gone now because she pulls out... This is a regular... it's fake, but it's supposed to be a real tree. With a strand of white lights, not the light part white, the cord part was white.
Yeah.
What? It's a green tree.
Yeah, that
Christmas would not have white cord lights for her green tree.
We never saw the final. No. They just kind of mm-hmm. started the.
They start a lot of things without finishing them in this movie. There's a lot of original music in this one, which you know we are a fan of, like our theme song. A lot of bebop rhyming songs.
Yeah.
It's all about the bebops and the rhymes in these songs. There's a lot of them in this movie.
There are at least six original, really, really horrible, generic Christmas songs.
Just like how Holly's job is to find a tree. There's somebody whose job it is to write all these, make all these songs for the movies, too. So you've got to rhyme a lot of words. You got to do a lot of bebopping. All right, so she decorates her tree. It's time to, like, pick herself up by the bootstraps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing.
And so I guess, I don't know, it all kind of, again, you look at your watch and you're like, all right, there's 3 minutes left to wrap all this up. So somehow they get the other tree. It's decorated, done. And she's loading up a truck with decorations. So they have two sets of decorations. So you don't know, like, oh, she must be going to three. But here she is. She shows up. She gets another letter from Joey. I don't really even remember what it said.
Yeah.
Something about, like, come back. My dad misses you.
Yeah, I think
come back. My dad misses you. Like, something like that.
Then later, Sam says that he wrote that letter.
I don't know. So the fake handwriting.
The fake handwriting.
Creepy.
He wrote that, my dad misses me. He said that he wrote the second letter, I think.
You're right. He did. He did.
In the fake
handwriting. In Joey's handwriting.
Maybe he did the first one, too. Like, he wrote it, and I don't know.
That would be really messed up that he did all that to get her there, and then he's like, no, I'm not. So she'll be there long enough to fall in love with him. So manipulative. Okay.
Yeah, so there's a second letter.
Again, it all was crammed together, so I'm sorry if I'm saying this out of order. Anyway, so she loads up the truck, and she ends up at their house. And Joey, they know she's coming. Sam doesn't, but Joey and George and Amy know that she's coming. So she shows up and she brings a crew with her to decorate their tree there.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it there. Decorate it there.
Do a Radcliffe tree lighting ceremony in Claus, Wisconsin.
With the idea that this would become a new tradition, like that they needed, the town needed this and to bring people together. Yeah. While Aaron is there helping out, and while they're decorating the tree, Holly reveals to Aaron that she has been promoted to tree picker.
Mm-hmm.
Holly's leaving Radcliffe.
Yeah.
And Aaron is the new tree picker. Aaron has no interest in this job. She thinks this job is dumb.
And again, Holly knows, she knows Sam for like 8 days. she's going to leave her like really good job that she...
Yeah.
Her one job is to find the Christmas tree. It seems she has a very nice apartment. She seems to have a good life. She's going to leave all of that behind in Chicago because she met Sam, who she's known for 5 days, who's divorced, and we still don't know why. And then I was thinking when he pouted, I was like, oh.
Yeah, red flag right here. Yeah. This is how he handles conflict. Stay away from this.
Yeah, she's going to give that all up to move to Claus and be with Sam.
So they decorate everything. And Amy says, all right, Sam's on his way home. On his way home? He's a farmer. Like, this is where he works. Where has he been all day?
Yeah, did they tell him to go farms? You know what? Go farm somewhere else today. Go farm on someone else's farm. We got a thing here that we need to do.
He gets home and Amy leads him through all the decorations and the people. And he's like, oh, what's going on? And then here comes Holly and she runs and hugs him. All is forgiven, and explains to him, you know, that this is the new tradition and that it will be part of the festival every year. I guess they have the budget for this. Isn't this like super expensive to light a tree?
Yeah. their whole yearly farm budget is just to light the tree for the 10 days. I also felt it was weird. So you're just giving up on Radcliffe. You're giving
all your effort.
The effort was like for the whole like an hour and 50 minutes was to Radcliffe Center. And then screw Radcliffe Center. Yeah. They're fine.
All of our decorations to Wisconsin. They just throw a strand of white cord lights on the Radcliffe tree. The poor Elkhart, Indiana tree. To call it a day.
I felt like that was they were very dismissive of the...
We never saw it either.
Never saw it. And the TV cameras were in Claus, too.
The reporter was there. Who's covering the Chicago... Yeah. Oh, no, wait. The Chicago one was the day before, they said, and this one was the day after.
Oh, so they had done...
They took all the decorations off the tree.
I don't know. I didn't like how they were like, everything was about the Radcliffe Center, and then it was very dismissed at the end for the Claus tree, which looked nice.
It did. At first, I was like, oh, no. And then once they lit it, I was like, okay, this is good. Yeah. And then Sam reveals that he has carved not their initials, but their names into a tree.
Yeah. And the carving kind of looked like his handwriting. So maybe he carved the note.
It's kind of a serial killer feel to that handwriting.
Yeah. Or like holding somebody for ransom.
Yeah, like a ransom note. Yeah.
Like a ransom note. Yeah. Nobody will be able to trace this because I'm like, you write it with your opposite hand that you normally write with.
Put some stickers on it.
Yeah.
So you go into Joey's sticker box. Stickers. Oh.
So that's it. So then they light up the tree.
Happily ever after.
And then Sam and Holly live, and we assume that they live in Claus with Creepy George, the grandfather, the remainder of their years.
Yep.
That is...
Do you feel like it's Christmas yet?
So that is a special edition of Molly and Pete Save Christmas, a Christmas in July special edition of Molly and Pete Save Christmas. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. We'll be back with...
October 27th.
October 27th, and throughout Christmas, we'll have 34 new... we'll have 34 new
podcasts. It's our full-time job. It's cold out there.